Sankarsanaya Sukshmaya Durantayantakaya cha Namo Vishwa Prabodhaya Pradumnayantaratmane Sankarsanaya Sukshmaya Durantayantakaya cha Namo Vishwa Prabodhaya Pradumnayantaratmane Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear Lord,
I can read it now.
You are the origin of the subtle material ingredients, the master of all integration, as well as the master of all disintegration, the predominating deity named Sankarsana, and the master of all intelligence, known as the predominating deity Pradumna. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The whole universe is maintained by the integrating power of the Supreme Lord, who is known in that capacity by the name Sankarsana. The material scientists may have discovered the law of gravity, which maintains the integration of objects within the material energy. Yet the master of all integration can create devastation by the disintegrating, blazing fire emanating from his mouth. A description of this can be found in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, wherein the universal form of the Lord is described. The master of integration is also the destroyer of this world by virtue of his disintegrating energy. Sankarsan is the master of integration and disintegration. Whereas Pradumna, another feature of Lord Vasudeva, is responsible for universal growth and maintenance. The word Sukshmaya is significant because within this gross material body, there are subtle material bodies, namely mind, intelligence, and ego. The Lord in His different features, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Pradumna, and Sankarsana, maintain both the gross and subtle material elements of this world. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the gross material elements are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And the subtle material elements are mind, intelligence, and ego. All of them are controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradumna, and Aniruddha. And this will be further explained in the following verse. I'll just read the verse, the translation without the purport. Namo Namo Niruddhaya.
Namo Namo Niruddhaya.
Rishikeshendriyatmane.
Rishikeshendriyatmane.
Nama Paramahamsaya.
Nama Paramahamsaya.
Purnaya Nivritatmane. Namo namo nirudhaya. Rishikeshendriyatmane. Namah Paramahamsaya. Purnaya Nivritatmane. Translation. My Lord, as the Supreme Directing Deity, known as Aniruddha, you are the master of the senses and the mind. I therefore offer my obeisances unto you again and again. You are known as Ananta, as well as Sankarsana, because of your ability to destroy the whole creation by the blazing fire from your mouth. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, text 35 with purport and text 36. Which also has a long purport, but I'm not reading that. That's for another day. Integration and disintegration. Here we're trying for integrating. How to become integrated devotees, working together cooperatively. This is Sankarsana. He's integrating the entire universe. But it's the same energy of the Lord that causes in another aspect at the end of the universe disintegration. Material energy naturally wants to disintegrate. Kali wants everything to be disintegrated, degraded, irreligious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu is also the origin of Sankarsana. This is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Sankarsana comes from Nityananda, or Nityananda is Sankarsana, and Balaram, and so many others are included within his personality. The Lord has a multiple nature, unlimited nature. So he and Krishna, everything is within him. But he expands himself into so many different forms. And those different forms are being described here by Lord Shiva. The four Chaturbhyuha, Aniruddha, Sankarsana, Pradumna, Vasudeva. We're getting into a very interesting insight into what the role of each of these forms are. Pradumna is predominating deity of intelligence. How many need some extra intelligence for controlling the mind and senses in Krishna's service? So we can Namo Vishwa Prabodhaya Pradumnayam Taratmane, offer him some obeisances. Our mind this mind is also under, all these features are under these predominating deities. Assisting them, there are different angels or devas or demigods, as you like to call them. Who is making us identify with the material world? The Ahankara. The Lord of the Ahankara is Shiva himself. So we want the mercy of Shiva to free us from this false identification with the body. Because we identify with the body, and the body is under the control of ignorance, we are put into suffering. You don't want it, but without wanting it, still dukkha comes. So to transcend dukkha is very easy. We have to simply focus our consciousness on Krishna in his different forms. In the last verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, after reading the whole Bhagavatam, after not reading it but speaking it, then Sutta Goswami, he spoke to the sages, the culminating verse. Let's see. How does that go now? Nama Sankirtana Yasya. Nama Sankirtana Yasya. Praname Pranamo. Dukkha Sarasa. No, Nama Sankirtana Yasya. Still tired from all the traveling. That Nama Sankirtana Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam destroys all the sins. Namanas Pranamo Dukkha Dukkha Samanas. That by offering pranam to this person, we get freed from all the sufferings of the material world. Namami Tang Haring Param. I offer my obeisances to that person who is the Hari, the Supreme. So I thought that was very interesting because at the, I'm just learning the verse. But at the very end of the Bhagavatam, it gives us this this message given by Sutta Goswami. It's kind of like Prabhupada would say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Pay obeisances to Hari, chant Hari Nam. You'll be freed from all suffering and you'll achieve all the perfection. That's the final message, last verse of the Bhagavatam. So we wonder sometime we're suffering, and here we see Lord Shiva is paying, he's paying obeisances to Vishnu, to the personality of Godhead. This is our solution also. We're wondering, why is my mind so disturbed? Why is the intelligence failing? We can remember, Lord of the intelligence, Pradumna, Lord of the mind, Aniruddha, Lord of integration, Sankarsana. What's also interesting is how Lord Shiva is instructing about Vishnu. In South India, there's not so much integration between Shiva and Vishnu. We can see here in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Shiva has all the respect for Vishnu. In fact, there are some groups in South India, they don't accept the Vedas. They have their own Tamil scriptures about Shiva. They say the Vedas are tainted. Because there in the Vedas keep saying how Shiva is worshipping Vishnu. So there's some the atheistic kind of followers of Shiva. And there's theistic followers of Shiva who believe in Vishnu and supremacy of Vishnu. So we respect Shiva. We should never offend Shiva. Just like Daksha offended Shiva, it was a big aparad and he faced so many difficulties. Shiva is Vaishnavanam Chata Sambhu. He is the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. Although he has got a thankless task in the material world of helping Sankarsana to destroy the material world, and he has many different roles, but he's doing everything out of his desire to serve Vishnu. We had the Rath Yatra yesterday, and this Rath Yatra, also the coming of Jagannath, has got something to do with Shiva. You know about that. That this history is mentioned in the Chaitanya Mangal, but it's also mentioned, it was told widely in different versions by the priest in Jagannath Puri, that Narada Muni, he was serving Lakshmi for 12 years as her menial servant. And she was very pleased with his service. And so she offered him that, "I'll give you a blessing. Tell me what you want." She said that, "What I want is I want to get a handful of the remnants of prasadam from the plate of Narayana." Just to get a handful of Mahaprasad. So 12 years of spiritual world. That 12 years, we can't imagine what, how much time that is. So, but Narayana told Lakshmi that, "Don't give my prasad remnants to anybody." So she couldn't do it. She said, "So this is very, you know, difficult for me. I cannot give this. Narayana forbade me. Take something else. I don't want anything else. I just want the Mahaprasad." Mahaprasad ki? So now Lakshmi was in a fix. She said she'd give a blessing, but the one thing that Narad wants, she can't give. So she was a bit in anxiety what to do. Since nobody's in anxiety in the spiritual world, Narayan could pick up immediately that something was wrong. He said, why are you in anxiety? And she told him that what happened. So then he said, "Well, look it. I don't want you to give anybody in front of me." Actually, the Lord is very humble, so he doesn't like, we shouldn't take his prasad right in front of him. I always give Charanamrita off to the side. So then, getting this kind of loophole, she took a handful of the prasadam and went, not in front of Narayan, and offered to Narad. So when Narada got the prasad, he became very ecstatic. very happy. But then when he ate the prasad, he became more ecstatic. Said he became so effulgent, he was like millions of suns. What do they call those? Supernovas? He was a transcendental supernova, something like that. And he was flying around the universe chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare! Hare Bol! Hare Bol! Hare Bol! She is flying around the universe chanting loudly Hare Krishna. And he happened to fly by Kailash. So Kailash was, the residence, of course, of Lord Shiva. So then Shiva saw this brilliant light in the sky and chanting Hare Krishna. So what is that? And so somehow he attracted Narad to him. And then he said, Narad, my brother, what happened to you? Why you're so effulgent? Why you're so blissful? I never seen you so happy. What happened to you? So Narad told the whole pastime, how he got the prasadam of Narayana, how it was so great, how he felt so ecstatic. It was well worth all the service to get to get that Mahaprasad. Then Mahadev Shiv, being a devotee of the Lord, he had a great desire to get some of that prasad also. So then he asked Narad that we're brothers. We're both the sons of Brahma. We are always friends. We're together all the time. Surely when you got so much mercy from Narayana, you saved some prasad for me. Narad was feeling very ashamed. He didn't think about everybody else. When he got that handful of prasad, he just took it. So he kind of hung his head down. They looked, because he had taken prasad. He didn't go through any, hygienic cleaning of the hands or anything. He just got overwhelmed and exploded in ecstasy and was flying around the universe. He had a little speck of prasad stuck in his fingernail. There's a famous saying in India, people say, take some prasad. They say, konika matram. Even give me a drop of prasad. Konika. Konikas. Like the spirit soul is called a chitkona. Little spark of spiritual light, little piece, little portion. So smallest portion is a konika. So Shiva, when he says, I got a konika here in my fingernail. Shiva said, konika matram. Give me even a little speck of prasadam. So he got that little speck. And Shiva, getting that speck of Mahaprasad without hesitation, he ate it. And when he ate it, he got also so much ecstatic that he started to dance. Of course, when he dances, he can destroy the universe. So he started intensely dancing, playing on his drum. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So meanwhile, while he's dancing in ecstasy, tinkling on his Dumur drum, the whole vibration starts to emanate in the universe from his dancing. Earthquakes and some planets, huge tidal waves and Patal Loka. It looks like it's going to disintegrate. So Parvati races back to Kailash. What is my husband doing? It's not the time for disintegration. In this verse, we're reading about integration, disintegration. Everything has its time. Now is our time for integration of the Sankirtan. We'll talk about that later. So anyway, the whole universe was starting to disintegrate while he was chanting. So she came there, Swami, Swami, Prabhu, Prabhu. And somehow broke him out of his trance and ecstasy. Then he said, what did you do? So it was Parvati. I was in the most ecstatic moment of my life and you broke it. Prabhu, I'm very sorry, but your dancing was creating universal destruction. It's not the time, and I was concerned about all the living entities. So seeing that she had a good cause, he's Asutosh, he's very easily satisfied. So, okay. Then she got curious. Why today, of all days, you got so much ecstasy? And he explained that how he got the prasadam from Narad, who got the prasadam from Lakshmi, who got the prasadam from Narayana. So, I said, this is amazing, this prasadam. And Parvati thought, well, I mean, I'm your half, your life consort, your eternal companion, your wife. Surely, every time you always think about me, you always give me half of everything, always leave some remnants. Surely, when you got this greatest of all mercy, the prasadam from the plate of Narayana, you left half for me. No. It's just, why not? I mean, what's the... Why not? I mean... How could you forget me at that moment? How could you not give me the mercy of the Lord? What was the reason why? Then he said, well, I thought you were not qualified. Wow, that was the oof. Now there was universal trouble. Shiva and Parvati never have marital problems, you know, but this was the rare occasion. And she said, what do you mean I'm not qualified? I'm Vaishnavi, I'm Vishnu Shakti, I'm Narayani, I'm doing everything for service to Vishnu. This is my service. I'm the only one in the whole universe who's not qualified to get his prasadam. What is it? What am I here for? I'm serving him. I should also get his prasadam. I feel so frustrated. And she became so emotional. She said, I don't think there's any worse suffering in existence than being deprived from Krishna prasad. I vow I'm going to see that everyone in the universe who wants it, they can get prasad. And so it's a big problem. Shiva can't solve it. Narad can't solve it. So Vishnu himself came. And Parvati was just still really upset. She says, I am deprived from your prasadam. I want Prabhu, allow me, let everyone who wants prasad to get prasad. They don't have to suffer like I'm suffering. The suffering of being deprived from your mercy, from your prasadam. Well, you know, even if they smell my prasadam, they'll be liberated. Your whole universe will be empty. So I don't care. But don't let them suffer like this, deprived of prasadam. So then Lord Vishnu thought and called Parvati, okay, I have a solution. So I will come as Daru Brahma, as the wooden form of absolute truth, with my brother and sister Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki, and all my prasadam will go first to you. You will incarnate as Bimla Devi, and all my prasadam will go to you. And everybody who wants that prasadam, it will be given. And I will personally come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I'll distribute that prasadam. So that's why in Jagannath Puri, part of the culture there is prasadam. In fact, they have very strict rules about prasadam. Different rules than anywhere else. You know that there's some caste consciousness and so many things are there, but when it comes to taking prasad, everyone is equal. They all sit on the ground in the same line. Doesn't matter who's Hindu, Christian, Brahmin, Sudra. If you're taking prasadam, you all sit in the same line, no problem. Any other time, they won't sit with you. But for prasadam, it's all transcendental. And they don't use any seat. They sit on the ground because they don't want to sit higher than prasad. Prasad should be up. So if you have a seat, then prasad will be down. I mean, India people eat on sitting in the ground. So even to this day, the prasadam is a very important aspect. I was seeing yesterday how some devotees were distributing prasad in the rath, and some people were happily taking, but some people were very proud. They refused. And I was thinking how they're getting, you know, instant liberation by eating this sweet. Parvati giving them their special mercy, but because of their false pride. No, I don't even. I'm on a diet. Or maybe they think there's some other religion, so they don't know what's this Hare Krishna's feeding us. They don't know we're giving them special mercy. Giving mercy, so somehow when they were given the offer, they were offered. This is part of our duty at Rathya, to offer people prasadam. So Shiva and Parvati, they're also connected to Jagannath Puri, Jagannath Rathyatra, because of Parvati, Vishnu agreed to come, Krishna agreed to come as Brahma, as Param Brahma in wooden form, Daru Brahma. The other thing, which of course this is the concluding verse for reading from tomorrow, is going to be another program. You probably heard many times, but I'd just like to highlight again that Shiva is giving voluntarily his very special mantra that he chants to Vishnu. And why? Why the Pachetas? People worship Shiva for births and births, and they don't get to see Shiva. And the Pachetas, he appears to them. They weren't even thinking about it. Wasn't even in their scope, in their rangefinder. There wasn't even a dream they had. But he appeared to them and said, I'm appearing to you because, one, you're Krishna devotees. And Krishna devotees are very dear to me. That's good to know. That Krishna devotees, even aspiring devotees, are very dear to Shiva. And also, the other factor that the Pachetas kept getting mercy from Shiva, from Vishnu, is they were brothers who were all working together in the service of Krishna. And Krishna reveals in the Bhagavatam that he's so pleased when his devotees cooperate together. Material nature, especially Kali Yuga, puts so many reasons for us to have disagreement, to have disintegration. We need the mercy of Sankarsana. And we can work together and have integration, cooperation. When we work together, when we put on festivals together, when we preach together, when we do Navhata and Bhakti Riksha groups together, when we build a temple together, so many different projects we do together in order to please the Lord. And this way, the Lord is more pleased than if we make an individual effort, when we make a team effort. Now, in ISKCON, we're making a team effort to build the Mayapur temple. And I have many services I have to do. I don't know whether I'll be able to travel like this if the temple development gets more advanced. I'll be focusing more on the temple construction till it's completed. But the whole world, we're trying to cooperate together. And so many obstacles get put out by the material energies, negative elements. So we also need the mercy of these predominating deities to overcome all these obstacles, so that we can fulfill the desire of the previous acharyas. So whether it's in Sankirtan, or whether it's in a local temple, whether it's in a worldwide project, the idea is that we work together. Whether we're God brothers, God sisters, with the same Diksha Guru, or whether we're all cousin brothers and sisters, working under Prabhupada's move with different Diksha Gurus, the success will be how we cooperate together. That's what pleases Krishna, that sees that we're sacrificing our own ego, our own selfish interests, to work together. Working together means always some adjustment is there. Everybody has their nature, all the natures don't combine perfectly. So we tolerate many things. We try to appreciate the good qualities in others. We ignore or we don't take very important the different negative aspects we might find for the higher cause, for the higher purpose. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was always showing us that kind of a cooperative spirit. At the same time, he was, you know, encouraging us to be courageous warriors to spread the Krishna conscious movement. So we're all missing his association. He would be here every year for the past so many years. But we know that in one sense we can feel his presence. And we know he wants everyone to be working together, continuing on with the festival, with the preaching, with being spiritual warriors. So this is the integration through cooperation, through communication, through understanding, through love, that we actually love everybody who is serving Krishna. In this world, it's so rare to find someone who serves God. Most people worship God, even they do that only for very personal, selfish reasons. But anybody who's actually trying to please the Lord, who's trying to do something to satisfy Krishna, is so rare. Narahari Thakur says in the Krishna Vachanamrita that if we die for saving a Vaishnava, we get immediate deliverance. Say there is someone, devotees being attacked by some rogues, and we go to help, and in that our attempt to help that devotee, we get killed. We go right back to Golok. So some devotee is so dear to the Lord, then we should be so careful not. Why would we want to offend such a devotee? What would be the use of that when the devotee is so dear to the Lord? So we learn to appreciate devotees, even they may have a few faults, but we see the good qualities. And in this way, the real quality of their desire to serve Krishna. So thank you for putting on this festival again and cooperating together. I'm glad I can come here and be part of it. Seems like there's more deities here. More deities mean more Krishna conscious households. One of our projects of the Ministry of Congregational Development is to get a report and to recognize all the Krishna conscious families in the world. We want to know how many Krishna conscious households there are, Krishna conscious homes, where everybody in the home is at least favorable. And within that house, Krishna consciousness is practiced. So here it looks like there must be a lot in the area. I can give you a report tonight as part of my show you how many thousands we have report for in the world. But there must be more that we don't know about in Croatia. Looks like there's hundreds of Krishna conscious families here, maybe thousands. So a family cooperating together to serve Krishna, that's another form of integration. And many families together. Inviting people to your house to do a Bhakti Vriksha meeting, it's a kind of an austerity. They may make the bathroom dirty, they may spill some lemonade on your carpet or something. To clean up the house, extra work. But that's a sacrifice that many people are doing. But of course, in exchange for that sacrifice, your house becomes purified like a temple. And you get so much mercy. So we know that we get more mercy by preaching, by giving Krishna to others. So I have a time limit I'm working under, but there's still a little time left for questions. Yes?
I heard last year that some devotees who are very advanced and they had opened their third eye, that they saw things that the ordinary people cannot, like, I don't know, demigod things. Do you know something about that?
Why do we want to see demigods?
I don't want to see, I want to hear about devotees.
No, but I mean, I remember there were devotees that could see different things, and they told that to Srila Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada said, don't worry, you'll get over it. We want to see Krishna. There's so many things we can do to increase our psychic, mystical opulences. But unless Krishna wants us to have those things, they can also be a distraction. We want to see Krishna, we want to experience our natural consciousness, our pure spiritual consciousness. So there are many mystical levels, and people get attracted by all these things. But it's like, even the desire for mystical powers is also an obstacle in our spiritual life. Mukti, bhukti, siddhi, spriha, sakali, ashanto. Those who want liberation, material benefits, and mystical powers and visions, they're all on a lack of peace of mind. Krishna Bhakta Niskam, a pure devotee has no desire, only desire is to please Krishna. Krishna Bhakta Niskam or Dev Shanto. Therefore the pure devotees are peaceful. So we're not interested in any quick tricks to give us things that we don't need. We want to follow the process given by Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, given a nectar of devotion. We want to awaken our natural love for Krishna. And people who claim to be very advanced and doing all kinds of things which are not in the scriptures, that's also described that Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatrik Vidhi Bina Aikantik Harya Bhakti Utpataeva Kalpati, that any kind of process which is not mentioned in the Vedas, the Puranas, the Upanishads, the Pancharatrik, the histories, the bona fide Vedic literatures, these things are simply disturbance. So we want to be sure that this is an authorized thing for us to do. Otherwise, there are so many things we could do. But for Bhakti Yoga, we have a different process. The Prachetas were performing Bhakti Yoga that was pleasing to Shiva. He appeared before them. How do we know somebody is seeing ghosts or seeing demigods or seeing what they're seeing, or they're hallucinating? We want to see Krishna. If Krishna wants us to see other things, so then he'll show us. But we want to see Krishna. That's our. We want to not only see Krishna, but really please Krishna and serve Krishna. Last question.
How still they have this mentality when in Vedic scriptures we have so many verses that say that the devotees are all equal and should not make these differences. And if you could just say, is this like a common thing in India or maybe something rare?
Prabhupada comments in his books about the distorted Varnashram system, perverted, that the original system is by quality, guna karma, and activities. According to one's nature of work, they were recognized. And they had different duties in society. But since most people took up the work of their father traditionally, it became almost predictable that somebody in the same family would become the same kind of person. But that's not the actual fact. But it became like that. So it's very widespread, even today. A lot of the political parties are based on this caste lines. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Vaishnavas, we preach that everybody's equal under God. And that the most important thing is that everybody should be a devotee of the Lord. The Puranas predict that by the preaching of the holy name, a golden age will be entered in, which is where everybody is one caste, Hari Bhakta. Ekavarna Hari Bhakta. One caste, Hari Bhakta. So, but you say, how deep is the caste concept in India? I heard that in the cemeteries of the Christians, who were converted from Hindus. They have a separate place for burying those who were converted from Brahmanas, because they considered to be higher than those converted from Sudras. Those are the Christian converts. So what to speak? But there's a lot of movements about social and other movements which are going against the caste system. But it's been going on for thousands of years. And the modern people are not so much affected as the more rustical rural people. But it's there. Even amongst my disciples, when it's time for marriage, they say, if we don't marry our daughters or sons in the same caste, our other relatives will ban us from the family. Even though I feel it's more important if marry a devotee. So there's a lot of challenges. But officially it doesn't exist. But unofficially there's a lot of conditioning there. So that's one of the things we deal with when we're preaching in India. Lord Nityananda, he was especially active to unite all the different lower castes, higher castes. Everybody he united together. He did integration of everyone. Lord Chaitanya, he personally, someone observed that he mainly was preaching to the Brahmanas. But it was Nityananda who reached out to the masses. So there is definitely an aspect of mass preaching to everyone. And that Nityananda, on the order of Lord Chaitanya, he did. Hare Krishna. Kuala! Kuala! You didn't translate. You have to say thank you, right? Thank you very much. Thank you.